My name's Sean Collier for the third year in a row.
This is three?
Me and Aaron are upstairs at the Beer Hive.
Wow.
In the Strip District. This is the first time there have been people here, though. I think the weather was terrible the last 2 years.
It's a busy day over the holidays. People come in for Pittsburgh Pickle Company.
Yeah.
And good food at the Beer Hive.
But we're here to give you our top 10 films of 2015, third annual top 10 episode. We're going to do honorable mentions, I'm going to give the worst of the year, and we're going to count down the best films of the year this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Bingo.
Theme music. You can't
handle the truth. And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
January 1st, 2016.
We did it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're into the, well, what is that? Okay, if this is 2016.
Yeah.
We did a best of 2015 and 2014.
We did a best of 2014?
Yes, we did.
What was your best of 2015?
Both of our best of 2015 was Interstellar.
That's correct.
2014, mine was Gravity.
And mine was...
I think yours was 12 Years a Slave?
It was, 12 Years a Slave, yeah. That's right. Wow, that's right!
That's where we started.
Wow.
That's how we kicked it off.
That's right, my number 2 last year was Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, I don't remember any of my number...
Well, wow.
My number 2 last year was Birdman.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think Birdman was my number 3.
So those are the champions.
Wow.
The champions are Gravity and 12 Years a Slave, and then, in agreement, Interstellar.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Because we're right.
It's the best movie in history, I mean, let's be honest.
Yes, we're definitely right.
Oh, yeah.
And here, I'll toss this out right off the bat.
Okay.
Because I believe we have this confirmed now. Last year, we agreed on what the number 1 movie of the year was. Sometimes, though, we do disagree, right?
Occasionally.
And sometimes we disagree on whether or not a movie might be a little bit overrated.
Absolutely.
And so, we are going to put some of those movies to the test.
This is exciting.
At Row House Cinema in Lawrenceville, beginning February 26th. It is the first You Can't Handle the Truth curated week at Row House Cinema. But it's not just our favorites. The theme is overrated movies.
Overrated.
And here's how that's going to work. Because you're going to be saying, why do I want to come down and say see an overrated movie? Well, they're going to have 4 movies.
Yep.
2 of them are going to be movies that I think are great. And Aaron thinks are overrated.
Well, it actually just worked out that way.
Yes.
Because I said... Sean, here's my 2 overrated films. And you're like, I love them.
Exactly.
And then you said your 2 overrated films.
Exactly.
And I was like, I like them.
And we can't tell you what the movies are yet because we're waiting to confirm and get everything booked. But it's going to be 4 movies that at least one of us thinks is great.
Yeah.
And the other one doesn't get the hype.
Yeah.
And we're going to be down there throughout the week. We're going to be doing some talkbacks, probably recording a couple
some
of times.
Some live Q&As.
Mm-hmm.
Some live episodes with our... overrated films.
So make sure you keep that on your calendar now. It is the week beginning Friday, February 26th.
Yeah.
We will be in Row House with Overrated Movies Week by You Can't Handle the Truth.
And you can go to Row House whenever you want.
Yes.
It's one of our best. It's kind of like our Alamo Draft House here.
Right.
And Sean is excited because they have Mexican Coke there in bottles.
They do. And draft beer.
Yeah, and draft beer. They have Atlas Brewing there.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas Bottle Company, right? Atlas Bottle Works?
Atlas Bottle Works.
That's
you can pick out a special little
their
beer.
Their basement bar is one of the coolest bars in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I had no idea that was there. And then we went down there and recorded our Halloween episode on The Shining.
Yeah.
And that place
cool.
is fantastic.
Yeah, it feels like you're in a root cellar where Paul Revere hung out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made it a cool like bar.
I know for the next 2 weeks, now normally they do, a retrospective. They do a themed retrospective. They just did their Christmas week and did Bad Santa and Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story, and Die Hard, of course.
Of course.
But for the next 2 weeks, they're flipping the script a little bit, and they are just showing The Hateful Eight for the next 2 weeks at Row House.
So just The Hateful Eight.
Just Hateful Eight.
So if you want to see Hateful Eight,
this is the place to do it.
You can go to Row House.
Mm-hmm.
For all their showings.
Yes, all the showings through, I think, the 14th, about there.
That's really cool.
Yes, so get down to, and not to tease it, you might be hearing more about The Hateful Eight a little later on in this episode.
Yeah. You know what's cool about Row House is, you know, they show old movies. They're showing Hateful Eight. It's a new movie.
Uh-huh.
But, like, they have those season pass things.
Yes.
They have, like, a cool thing where you can pay and go into Row House all year.
I think it's $300. That sounds like a lot. Wait and break
it
down.
Just do the math.
Break it down.
Yeah.
That if you go three times a month, I think it is, then you're making money.
And if you're a movie fan, you're going
you should
to
be
the,
going to Row House.
Yeah,
three
especially
times a month.
For
yeah.
like cool throwback movies. Like mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. that's pretty legit.
Or if they have a week that you're really into, if you want to see all those Christmas movies, you can get a week pass and go as much as you want.
I think
want
they have like
3 month
passes and stuff yeah. or something like that. It breaks mm-hmm. down, but it's I mm-hmm. love it.
But we're very excited. It's the first time anyone asked us to pick movies.
I know, right?
So,
I know.
We're doing it.
It's been a long time since I curated movie night at college.
Yeah.
Aaron knows about movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have movie nights.
And now an actual movie theater wants us to do it, so we
I love it.
Be more happy. But let's get into it.
Now, we got to get moving
yeah,
here.
We got a lot of movies to tell you about. So
Sean saw, holy shitballs.
As of today, and it's going to go up because there's at least another 8 movies I have to see before I vote for the Critics' Choice Awards. Watch those on the A&E Network. But as of today, I've seen 124 films.
Wow.
And about two-thirds of Shaun the Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep was really awesome.
It was fun.
Those guys that make that stuff.
Yeah.
That team of people, mm-hmm. amazing. My kids love it. My
and
kids
no dialogue. How
no,
about that?
Amazing.
Yeah,
really fun. I took the kids to the theater for that. But I think I'm between 50 and 60.
Yeah.
You and I'm usually you're about double me usually. I usually catch up on movies when I'm on the road doing stand up.
Yeah.
I'm that weird dude who shows up in a weird town, mm-hmm. Or a town I don't live. Not a weird town, guys. And I'm the guy watching a movie at 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll catch up, and you're going to get to a lot of these, I know, you know, the next couple of months. But let's hit them with the honorable mentions.
All right.
Before we get into the top 10 list. Aaron, your honorable mentions.
All right.
You told me you have 8. You have 8 honorable mentions.
I have 8 honorable mentions. Obviously, these are not in my top 10, and these are in no particular order.
Uh-huh.
Let me just lay it out there.
All right.
Honorable mention. Not in the top 10, Star Wars, Force Awakens. Great film.
It's going to make some people mad, but...
Well, you know, I love Star Wars as much as the next nerd. I mean, I really do. I went twice.
Yeah.
I took my kids. You know, I went out opening night because I wasn't allowed to go to the screener.
Right.
Because I'm a nobody.
Hey. hey.
But I vote for the SAG Award. Shut up.
No, how many people... how many of you are there? It's everybody with a SAG card, right?
Not true.
No?
No.
Hmm.
Not true.
Hmm. All right. No. It's important. Yeah. You're important.
So, but I mean, honestly, I love Star Wars. You can listen to our episode.
Yes.
We did an episode on Star Wars. Check that out.
Yes.
I'm eating pistachios.
Yeah, and Aaron has a giant thing of food in front of him now, so if you... didn't like hearing him eat pistachios.
I'm starting to be strategic about eating while doing a podcast.
Yeah, you're not eating at this moment.
No.
Which is good. Anyway.
So that's Star Wars.
Yes.
Which we also did an episode on, The Martian.
Yeah.
Did we do an episode on The Martian?
We did half of an episode on The Martian.
That's right. We did a little thing. I thought it was great. I thought, you mm-hmm. know... we've dubbed saying that it's The Martian is Interstellar for dumb people.
Yeah, I feel
Sorry.
A little bit bad
you
about
feel bad?
That.
You feel bad?
No, no. It's just... Because there's some smart people made it. I know all the science is good.
I think Matt Damon is spectacular.
He does
it's a great supporting
job.
Cast.
Mm-hmm.
Great science in the movie. Really cool.
Really well-directed. Ridley
yeah,
Scott.
Really good.
Yeah.
Next one, Ex Machina.
Very good.
Really great film.
Mm-hmm.
Great tone. Yeah. I was in.
I love a kind of a small sci-fi Oscar, movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oscar Isaacs. Spectacular. Is that his name, right?
Not plural. Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, sorry. Poe.
Yeah, how about that cast, by the way?
Yeah.
That's basically a three-person cast. There's a few other small parts.
Right.
But you have everyone in that cast blew up this year.
Yeah.
There's Oscar Isaac, who is Poe in Star Wars.
And also...
Domhnall Gleeson
is in Star Wars as well.
Who's what's his name in Star Wars?
He's like Commander such and such.
But was also in Brooklyn and The Revenant.
Killing it.
Yeah.
He was really good in The Revenant too.
And then Alicia Vikander, who was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and The Danish Girl, and is probably going to get nominated for The Danish Girl. All three of them in Ex Machina. So that's a hell of a cast.
Then I'm going to throw out Black Mass.
Yeah, that was very good.
I'm going to throw out Black Mass.
Great performance.
You know, I love crime movies, stuff like that.
Johnny Depp's got an outside shot at a Best Actor nomination.
Nah, maybe, not going to happen.
Maybe the fifth one.
Nah. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I've had enough of Johnny Depp in makeup. I mean, it's just, come on.
Yeah.
So that's it right there. And then I have Concussion.
Yeah.
I
wanted it to be better, but it's very good.
I also agree. I wanted it to be better, but I thought Will Smith was great. I thought Albert Brooks was a great Cyril Wecht.
Yeah.
And it's a really compelling true story.
Yeah, the argument is really strong.
I'll just let you go see Concussion.
Yeah.
If you're frustrated about how organized sports is like organized crime, go watch Concussion.
You're going to get more frustrated.
It's the best way I can put it. Straight out of Compton.
Yeah.
Love the cast. Fun, fast-paced film, biographical. I love hip-hop. I grew up on N.W.A. and Public Enemy and the Beastie Boys. And, you know, so it was really cool to see it. It's an honorable mention because I thought, you know, there's a couple of story things that I wasn't crazy about. The ending I'm not crazy about.
I feel like you're going to get some people kinda upset when that doesn't get any Oscar love.
And yeah, but, you know.
The thing is, it just... I really liked it.
It was a good movie.
It wasn't on that level.
No, it was not.
You can't make it on that level. Like, I want it to... Yeah, I want it to be on that level, but it's not quite there. And
right.
You can't just say, oh, yeah, never mind, it was great.
Right, I mean, you know, and a lot of times, too, you get something that people really, really are fans of, and they're like, well, this is Best Picture. It's my favorite movie of the year. That doesn't mean it's Best Picture.
Yeah, same with Star Wars.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm, look, I mean, you know, so there's that. And then, I'm going to go with, Kingsman.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a surprise.
I think I saw that by myself in a theater in some city at 10 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, man, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like what a fun movie.
Yeah.
Great action movie, fun story, good effects, great fighting. Good times. So now, my last honorable mention, I would say, is my number 11.
Okay.
And it is The Gift.
Oh, all right. I think you like that a little bit more than I did.
I like the tone of it. I'm just super impressed. I did work with Joel Edgerton and got to talk and hang out with him when I worked on Warrior. I just was super impressed that he wrote and directed it. I think that if it was a little closer to Oscar season, he may be in a conversation for Best Actor. But everybody was... Jason Bateman blew me away.
Yeah.
Like, just his... He kind of, you know, plays a very different character than he's used to playing. And so it was a really good film. Really well written, too.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton, written, directed by, and not starring... cast himself as the villain, which is very interesting.
Really exciting.
Yeah.
So no, that was my good. That's my honorable mentions.
I wouldn't tell anybody not to see it. Like I said, I think you liked it a little bit more than I did.
Yeah.
I always take the list to 25.
Well, that's good because I have to eat a couple things.
So many damn movies. So here's 25 through 11. 25, the documentary about Marlon Brando, Listen to Me, Marlon.
Really?
Really, really interesting. Somebody found that he was someone who was obsessively recording himself. He was one of those guys who carries around a tape recorder and records his thoughts. And they found this giant cache of Marlon Brando talking about his life.
No way.
And just cut it together into a documentary.
You know, This is why Sean has seen 160 movies.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this documentary existed.
Yeah. And if you get Showtime?
No.
Okay. Well, if you do get Showtime, look on your the thing that's HBO Go, but
that's
for Showtime.
That's kind of fascinating.
You can see that on there now. Especially for movie fans, really recommend that. 24, a good teen drama, made in Pittsburgh. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. That was very good.
Right. I heard a lot of people liked it.
Yeah. 23, I hung on to this one. I feel like a lot of people later on went, 23, Avengers, Age of Ultron. You weren't crazy about it at the time.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little meh.
Yeah.
A little dark.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, on par for sequels in big movies, you know, set precedent by Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back set the precedent for trilogies.
I just have a crush. I have a crush on Scarlet Witch.
She's a great actress.
Oh, she's really
been
good.
Killing it. What is she going to be in just coming up?
She's got something coming up.
Big.
She was in Godzilla.
Oh, I know.
She was in a great movie. This is Elizabeth Olsen we're talking about.
Yeah, she's got something coming up pretty big.
You are referring to... She was great in a movie called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Yeah.
I don't know what she has coming up.
Well, that's
upcoming
okay.
Projects, Civil War, movie called I Saw the Light, the story of country western singer Hank Williams.
Yeah, that's what I saw, a trailer.
Yeah.
That Hank Williams story looks good.
Yeah.
It looks really
the
good.
The next big music
and that's,
biopic.
And that's playing Hank Williams
Tom Hiddleston, Loki.
Yeah, Tom and Loki. Yeah, I was just trying to get out.
Yeah.
Little Avengers connection there.
Yeah.
That looked really good.
I liked Avengers. I would sit through it again, definitely. 22, another one of my favorite documentaries, is called Winter on Fire, Ukraine's Fight for Freedom.
Mm.
This is one where that's so recent that everyone was filming everything on their cell phones. So it's kind of a living history thing.
Wow.
Definitely worth watching. Carol is 21. That's going to get some Oscar nominations for Cate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, most likely.
I have the screener sitting at home.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to grab it, but it is on my deck.
It's a really good relationship drama. I think it's getting a little overblown. That's why it's down there. But another Cate Blanchett movie at 20, that's Truth. Truth, based on a true story about the scandal, the 60 Minutes scandal about them reporting on George W. Bush's National Guard service and whether or not
I did not care.
I didn't care going in, and then they did a great job. Robert Redford as Dan Rather.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, we got the screener, and, I'll give it a shot down the line when I'm running out of movies, because January and February are going to look real bleak.
Little light January.
So.
Truth is a 20. My favorite document of the year was Amy. The Amy Winehouse documentary.
Once again,
19.
I don't care.
Oddly enough, like the Ukraine movie, she just... Look at how young she started, right? So everything important that happened in her life...
How young?
17, 18.
Oh, really?
So everything important that happened in her life was on film. So this is a music documentary where they have footage of everything that ever happened to her.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
So... that's a really great biography.
That's an
really sad.
That's actually
obviously.
An interesting thing to think about is that you figure music stars, but entertainers.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years, every moment of their career is documented.
Yeah, exactly.
Of their personal life.
Exactly.
So when you do a documentary one day in 50 years about Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Or Beyoncé or Taylor Swift.
Everything is on film already.
It's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really hard.
It's going to be like Lord of the Rings.
It's going to be
three of them.
Yeah. And it's going to be really hard to give it interpretation because all the truth is documented.
Right. Right.
So
that's at 19. A couple movies that nobody saw. Freeheld is at 18. Julianne Moore and Ellen Page. True story about a police detective in New Jersey in the 90s. She's dying of Julianne Moore. She's dying of
Julianne
lung
Moore,
cancer.
Yeah.
And she is trying to get her pension transferred to her same-sex partner.
Right,
which
was
not done at the time. Ellen Page is great. Michael Shannon is great in that. He's also great in number 17, 99 homes. Michael Shannon is a beast.
You know what,
he's
though?
Unbelievably good.
That's one of those actors where I think he's great in everything he's in, and then he doesn't get the big stuff.
Yeah, or when he does, it's General Zod.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And because he was a destroyer in Boardwalk Empire.
Uh-huh.
I mean, amazing. Mm-hmm. So I always think about, like, why isn't this guy getting bigger movies? He must be an asshole.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm like,
maybe he's a jerk.
Yeah, what is wrong? Guys, he's really good.
Well, you got to see 99.
I mean, I'm kidding.
Right.
You know,
right.
But.
You got to see 99 Homes. That's.
That's on my list. On my list to watch. It's on deck.
He's the guy. He plays the villain. He's the guy who shows up to kick you out of your house when you get foreclosed on.
Wow.
So it is a tough drama to watch, but really, really good. Trumbo is 16. You watched Trumbo, didn't you?
Oh, boy.
It's a little long.
Late one night, and
That's not a start at 11:30.
You know, here's the thing. I am fascinated with, the Cold War and that communism, movement and the blacklist of Hollywood. And I mean, I even told you, it hits every interest I have in history.
Right.
Old Hollywood.
Right.
The Cold War. World War II. I mean, you'd figure this is going to be my favorite movie of the year.
Uh-huh.
Great acting. Great, but I just, I don't know. It had everything stacked up like this is, I'm going to love this movie.
Sometimes they just don't hit you.
And man, I could not barely get through it.
Yeah. I think I liked it a little bit more than you did.
Sure.
Obviously a great ensemble cast.
Oh, absolutely.
With Bryan Cranston in the lead. I'm going to go ahead and tell you Aaron's wrong. And it hit him in a bad mood. I think people should watch Trumbo. It came close to my top 10. And Bryan Cranston,
really?
What? 16. 16. And Bryan Cranston was on my ballot, third on my ballot for best actor.
Maybe I should give it another shot.
Yeah, maybe I'll hit you in a better mood. But
you're right. I did start it late.
That's a very real thing. That happened to me with Batman Begins. Batman Begins is great, but I started watching it at 12:15. So I was sleepy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're like, okay, Ra's al Ghul, we get it.
I know. Number 15.
But seriously, Ra's al Ghul, we get it.
Of course. Number 15, I thought this would make it to my top 10, and it didn't quite. 15 is Creed.
Oh.
I've got Creed at 15.
Oh.
Loved it. So, again, we said when we did the episode, you and I walked in thinking, this is going to be long.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
And we kept turning to each other during the movie. This is really good.
Yeah.
We're normally turning to each other like, is there any popcorn left? Or what time is it? Or Cameron Diaz is awful. Like, that's our normal comments. This was, holy crap, this movie is way better than I was.
Or I don't know how you like Sandra Bullock this much.
Right.
Or
right.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Not in my top 25. Joy, overrated.
Wow.
Not,
guys,
not particularly close.
Now
you know
listen,
how much I like. You know how much I love her.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Let me just explain to people that I don't know what level of movie fan you are, but going from the last couple films that David O. Russell has done,
yeah,
which
American Hustle
American
was in
Hustle,
my top 10,
yeah, and Silver Linings Playbook,
won
both
Jennifer
really
Lawrence won
good
the Oscar,
films,
and The Fighter,
and The
really
Fighter,
good.
Really good films. So I wasn't crazy about to see Joy. I was gonna see it,
yeah.
Because David O. Russell, I enjoys movies.
Yeah.
I think Jennifer Lawrence is overrated. But when you say that it's not even in your top 25.
No.
He swung and missed.
Might have made 30, maybe not.
Man. That's a big deal.
She's great, but it's just her. The movie, it's not an interesting story. It's a woman who was poor, but then she invented a mop and sold a lot of
mops.
Hey,
what do you know? A whole movie of Jennifer Lawrence and you're bored.
No. No.
Yeah, I'm skewing your word.
Here's the thing. I still gave it like a 7 or 8. It's still good. But if it had not been her, it would have been like a 5. I'm bored out of my mind. She worked to make you like the character that you didn't have any reason to care about. If that had been, I don't know, Rooney Mara, the movie would have been a 5. And I like Rooney Mara. Jennifer
right.
Lawrence, like, I feel like she knew, this isn't as good as the last few I got to work.
Wow.
Anyway, that's not an honorable mention.
No, that's interesting.
Creed at 15. At 14, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Not quite to top 10. Look, if you think it's the best movie of the year, you know, either you're a mega fan or...
And that is fine.
And that's fine. It's just you're not looking at all the same movies that we're talking about.
And I think when we give our top 10, I mean, Sean, being the film critic that he is, you're a little more film snobby than I am.
A little bit.
No, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, this year especially.
Yeah, but our top 10 will still reflect things we like. I can speak for myself.
Yeah.
My top 10 are me loving and have done filmmaking and
right.
have studied filmmaking and also just being a huge movie fan. They kind of merge.
Yeah.
So, you know, my tops aren't going to be nominated for Best Picture. Not a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we're at.
Yeah. And that's fine. And Star Wars was great.
It's fantastic.
It's so much.
I'm gonna go see it again.
I'm gonna go see it again. It was so much better than I was counting on.
Oh, me too.
I thought, yeah, this will be okay. This will be like I'm watching the Avengers. This will be like I'm watching Furious 7. This will be Jurassic World. This will be a fun time. And it's a really, really good movie. Again, that's the top 10% of movies I saw this year.
And that's fine.
14, great. 13, you mentioned it in your honorable mentions, is Ex Machina. Loved it. I want to watch it again. I love a nice, small sci-fi movie, and that was really good. Number 12, a movie we both really liked, Sicario. Emily Blunt, Benicio Del Toro. Really, really tense drama.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, number 12.
Huh. Okay.
Loved it. Hey, seen a lot of movies. That's what I'm saying. Seen a lot of movies. And at number 11... I'm with you. I know why you're not watching it. And it almost cracked the top 10. Number 11 is The Danish Girl, Eddie Redmayne and Alicia Vikander, which I sat down
to watch. Wait, don't say I know why you didn't watch it like that.
No, I sat down...
I don't want people being like, what's wrong with this?
No. Not because of transgender issues. No. Because of Oscar award issues. Because
I'm holding my Keaton DiCaprio grudge against Eddie Redmayne.
Little smug face Eddie Redmayne stole the Oscar last year from Michael Keaton. And I sat down to watch it. Tamara was with me. We sat down one morning and I was like, this fucking guy, Eddie Redmayne, was terrible. And I was like, and I'm not just saying he shouldn't have won. I hated him in Theory of Everything.
Yeah.
I thought he was bad.
Yeah.
And then I sat down to watch The Danish Girl and thought, oh man, he's really good at this.
And Sean goes, if you want to continue to dislike him, don't watch The Danish Girl. And I was like, you know what? I'm holding out for a couple more months.
Yeah. And Alicia Vikander is becoming one of my favorite actresses, too. If you don't know what that's about, it's set in the 1910s, 1920s in Europe. He plays one of the first people to undergo sex reassignment surgery. And it's a very like quiet drama of like all these little moments of him figuring out that he's a woman, and it's, you know, obviously timely, but really, really
yeah.
Well.
No, I mean, I definitely want to see it for that reason because mm-hmm. I think it's a fascinating story to tell,
yes,
especially in that time period. I think it's fascinating.
You just want to keep on hating him.
I mean, you know,
yeah. So we're to the top 10. Let's go 10 through 5, and then we'll take a break. Who goes first?
My number 10
Well,
one of your honorable mentions, it's Creed.
Ah.
My number 10 is Creed.
I wanted it to make a list.
Right. Well, you saw more movies than me.
Yeah.
It's number 10 because I really wanted to keep it in because I thought it was a top-to-bottom, pretty well-structured film.
Uh-huh.
Well-written. It was a really good film.
Yes.
Filmmaking wise, great acting, great story. You know, great. We talked about great cinematography. You can listen to our Creed episode.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I was just pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
And I think why I like it in my top 10 is because I had a good time at the movies.
Really good time.
Like I was like, wow, what a great fun movie. Mm-hmm. Like, what a good story. It really was, and I really think that they did an amazing job of creating a new story in the Rocky franchise.
Almost
they really did a good job.
Very similar, now that I'm thinking about it, to The Force Awakens.
Yes, good point.
We're bringing this one back up. We're bringing this franchise back, and we're going to do it by making one that's a lot like the original,
right?
But for a new generation.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. Can't argue with you.
All right.
My number 10 is one that I know you didn't see. It's a little indie. The name of it is...
Well, then you go ahead.
The Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Did not.
Did not see that one. The actress is a newcomer. The lead actress is a young woman named Belle Powley, who killed it. She's not going to be nominated for Best Actress. She should be. And this one was a little hard for a lot of people to take because it's set in the 70s. It's about a relationship between a 16-year-old girl and her mom's, 35, 38-year-old boyfriend. And obviously the actress is a grown-up. That's why they can have sex scenes and all that. But still, I know a lot of people are like, I'm not watching that relationship go down. I'm too uncomfortable about
it. I remember you mentioning that, and I was not crazy about seeing it.
Yeah, and I get that. The thing to really recommend it, and the cast is great. Alexander Skarsgård is the guy.
Oh, he's good.
Kristen Wiig plays her mother. There are like a million movies about teenage boys like waking up to their sexuality. There aren't that many about teenage girls that are just kind of honest and real. And this is not from his perspective. This is all from her perspective. And it's not, oh my God, she had sex. That's horrible. It's just a very real look at it.
That's interesting.
But the performance puts it in the top 10. I had never heard of this actress, Belle Powley, before, and she gave one of the best performances of the year. So if you're looking for something to stream, that is an excellent choice. Number 10, The Diary of a Teenage Girl. Aaron, you're number 9.
Well,
film of 2015. You are eating so fast I make a choice.
No, I'm not. Well, I gotta look this up because I want to make sure I get the names right.
The names of the
performers? No, I just went brain dead.
That's all right.
My number 9 is Room.
All right.
Because I thought the story really threw me for a loop because... Did people say that still?
Yes. That's an expression.
You know, I honestly, you told me I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Got the screener. I had no idea what it was about.
Right.
No idea.
I had almost the same.
So, I'm into it about 20, 30 minutes, and I'm like, my wife and I are like, wait, is it this? Is it, what's going on? Is it this? And then, where a movie like this would end was just the, second act.
Yes. And and you're doing it right, because, people should go into this not knowing a lot.
You should not.
But that's what makes it so great.
Yes.
In most other movies like this, everything that would happen in the movie here is condensed in the first 40 minutes.
Right.
This is a movie that keeps going after the end to show you what happens to the characters.
It's like when you watch a film and it's like, oh, and here it is, here's yay, and then it's like, okay, here's another 45 minutes.
Yes.
Because you want to see what happens.
Yes.
After this conclusion, what normally would happen in a movie.
Yeah.
And it is really fascinating. It's a great dynamic to see how that works. And I'm not spoiling anything because I want you to go see it. Brie Larson is fantastic.
She is seen as a lock for Best Actress.
I mean,
I got
fantastic.
No problem with that. That she was my vote. She was my vote on my nomination ballot. She'll be my vote when I vote
just,
for the
award. And the little boy,
Jacob Tremblay,
he was also just phenomenal.
Great,
really,
really tough role for him.
Yeah,
And for her too. Not taking anything away, but I think he was 7, 8.
He was a little guy, man.
Yeah,
yeah. So I just think it was fantastic, and I think it's just an amazing story to tell.
Yeah,
that's my number 9.
Room is at number 9. My number 9, I wanted to make this line up right on the list, but I couldn't. So number 9 is The Hateful Eight.
Really?
The Hateful Eight at number 9. We haven't done an episode on it, because we just saw it last week after our Christmas episode was done. I think I would go as far as to say that this is my favorite Tarantino movie since Kill Bill.
Wow.
You know that Kill Bill is in my top 10 movies of all time. Deal with that.
Kill Bill 1 and 2 is in the bottom of my list for Tarantino movies.
Well, hey. But I liked Inglourious Basterds. I liked Django. Liked them both a lot. Yep. Liked Death Proof a lot. But he freshens it up so much. You know, a lot of his, you know, Django has a lot of Inglourious Basterds in it. Death Proof has a lot of Kill Bill in it.
Yeah.
Jackie Brown has a lot of Pulp Fiction
in it. Hateful Eight has a lot of Django in it.
Hateful Eight has some Django in it, but the structure, the story, is brand new for him.
Very different.
And we talk about going out, it's basically like a old
Agatha Christie novel.
Here's our characters. We're trapping them in one place.
Strangers on a train. Clue.
Somebody's not who they appear to be. Let's let this play out. And that was so much fun with Tarantino characters.
Yep.
Right? And killer cast. Jennifer Jason Leigh, Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, Walton Goggins, Bruce Dern. Killer.
Walter Goggins, super surprise.
Yeah.
Not that he hasn't been doing some great stuff.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this was like, okay, I remember this guy now.
Yeah. I tell you, I think I'm going to have to go back to Rojas Cinema and see Hateful Eight
again. I'm thinking about it, too.
Yeah. I really want to see it again. And there's always one. 2 years ago, it was Wolf of Wall Street. I never got a screener. Like, never. This year, it's Hateful Eight. I never got one in the mail. So I am going back to the movie theater. My number nine is Hateful Eight. Your number eight.
My number eight is Spotlight.
Okay.
You know, I watch a lot of screeners with my wife.
Uh-huh.
And we were just blown away how many true stories are coming out. And, you know...
Concussion, Spotlight, Danish Girl.
I mean, yeah. Room, kind of. Sicario, kind of.
Both inspired by a lot of
inspired by
events.
Things, right. Revenant.
True story.
The Big Short. I mean, there's so many, like, geez. Black Mass, straight out of Compton. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Trumbo.
Yeah.
Freeheld.
And I was telling my wife, it's like, look at all these movies that are getting award nominations.
Mm-hmm.
They're real stories.
Yeah.
They're not reboots.
Yeah.
Remakes.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You want some awards? Write a story that happened in real life.
I'll tell you, here's a little spoiler. In my top 10, 9 of them are a brand new property.
Yeah, mine are quite a few.
Yeah.
Well, Spotlight is my number 8. I thought that it had an amazing cast. I thought their storytelling, to take something... It basically is the Boston Globe kind of cracking down and exposing a Catholic priest pedophile...
conspiracy, really? A conspiracy?
Yeah,
conspiracy of silence within the Boston.
It's a very,
it's
a very painful thing to watch if you are church inclined at all.
Yeah.
But man, what a compelling story!
Yeah.
And I thought Michael Keaton was fantastic.
Mark Ruffalo is great.
After I saw it, I thought, man, he should get nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Or even, that might even be Best Actor.
They basically said everyone counts as supporting.
Because okay.
The studio pushes it the way they want it.
Right.
You can go against them if you feel like it. But they said,
I mean, he's these fantastic. Are all,
like,
I thought,
same as Straight Outta Compton. They said these are all supporting parts.
I mean, he was spectacular.
Yeah.
It was a great paced film.
Mm-hmm.
Really kept me on the edge of my seat. Like, oh my gosh, like, how many are they going to get? Like, oh man. It was fascinating. I thought it was a great film.
My number 8 is Inside Out.
Yay!
A great, great Pixar movie. I think we talked about that. I had Eric Leslie on to do the episode. I'm trying to think of where it ranks among Pixar movies for me. And it's definitely...
Top three. Pixar's? Yeah, I agree.
I'd kind of have to sort it out with Up and WALL-E and Toy Story.
Yeah.
But not only is it really funny and really compelling and captivating and sad.
So creative.
So inventive.
Yeah.
It's like an important movie where, you know, I've heard that people who work with children, particularly children who, for whatever reason, have a tough time expressing their emotions, are using the movie and the characters from the movie to teach kids how to talk about their anger or their fear or their sadness.
Absolutely.
Not only is it a great movie, it's doing great work.
Yeah.
To put that out.
Absolutely.
Really, really. And the perfect cast. Amy Poehler, Lewis Black, Bill Hader, Richard Kind, Phyllis Smith.
Yeah.
The best voice cast you could have put together.
Yeah.
Inside Out is my number 8. We are on to number 7.
My number 7 is Inside Out.
Oh, all right. There you go.
For everything you said. And also, I took my 7-year-old daughter on her birthday to see Inside Out. And let me tell you something. Sitting next to my little girl turning 7.
Yeah.
Watching a movie about a little girl growing up.
You're getting choked up now.
I cried about 3 times during the movie.
Yeah.
Just holding my little girl's hand.
Yeah.
Her, this, you know, she gets real into movies.
Mm-hmm.
She's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I just was like, I'm sobbing like just a baby. I couldn't help it. I thought it was a great movie. It's just a great film. I just watched most of it again with my kids the other day.
They can't...
One of my favorite Pixar films, for sure.
I mean, I know about Cars and Cars 2. I know that...
Okay,
I know that Brave...
I know people say that.
I know that Brave was a little bit of a disappointment to some people.
Brave was decent.
But...
And let's be honest, Cars and Cars 2 are made for 4-year-olds.
Yeah, that's a different target.
It's for toddlers.
How are they that good... That consistently. And by the way, they had another one this year.
Yeah.
The Good Dinosaur, which was also really good.
They surround themselves with talented people.
Yeah. They just get the smartest, most creative people in the world and make great movies.
Yep.
That's your number 7. I think my number 7 is going to be a little bit higher on your list.
Okay.
So my number 7 is Mad Max Fury Road.
Wait. You're number 7?
He's looking at me like I fed him a sour peanut. He's looking at me like I insulted, not his mother, but like...
7!
His 94-year-old grandmother. Like I said something bad.
You son of a bitch.
7. And I'll tell you why. And this came down to numbers.
You thought too hard.
Well, my number 6 through number 1, I gave a 10. Mad Max, I gave a 9. So it's my top 9. Out of like 30, I gave a 9 to, because I was being nice this year. Mad Max Fury Road is my number 7. I get the feeling we're going to be talking more about it later, so maybe we can go over this in a little bit more detail.
Sure.
A little later on down the line.
Okay. But
one of the only things this year I saw twice, we're going to talk about it later, but the best world built on screen this year. More than anything I have written above it, more than Star Wars, this was, you know, everyone...
Best art direction, hands down.
Visionary filmmaking, right?
Frank?
And here's what I'll say to redeem the low placement.
George Miller. I almost said Frank Miller.
Not Frank Miller. Definitely not Frank.
He's good.
He's good, too. Here's what I'll say to defend my low placement there. Not to defend it, to apologize for it, because I feel bad. Let me pull up my. I shouldn't be doing this.
No, what?
I'm giving you inside information. I'm pulling up my nomination ballot for the Critics' Choice Awards. Which, by the way, Mad Max Fury Road led all films this year with 13 Critics' Choice Award nominations.
As it should.
And I'm going down to some of the craft categories right now. Best production design. Mad Max Fury Road. These are my votes. Best editing, Mad Max Fury Road. Best costume design, Mad Max Fury Road. Best makeup, Mad Max Fury Road. Best visual effects, Mad Max Fury Road. Best action movie, Mad Max Fury Road. Best actor in an action movie, Tom Hardy, Mad Max Fury Road. Best actress in an action movie, Charlize Theron, Mad Max Fury Road. So, I loved it. Clearly I enjoyed the film quite a bit.
Whatever.
Best cinematography... The Revenant. Number 2, Mad Max Fury Road.
All right, moving on.
All right. You're going to recover from this.
All right.
Uh-huh.
So, where are we at now? My number 6.
You're number 6.
All right. My number 6 is Sicario.
Oh. A little bit. I mean, I loved it. You know, number 12
I really loved it. And, you know, there are so many... I loved it a lot because... It, you know, I'm sure it's based on true events.
Yes.
You know, when people talk about movies that involve, you know, the CIA, the FBI, the military, the government, you know, TV shows like The West Wing and, you know, House of Cards, people are like, oh, well, that's... No. That's based on some stories.
Yes.
That's based on some real shit.
Yes.
And I thought Sicario was fascinating. Mm-hmm. I thought it was... It was fast-paced. It was very... it was a good action movie, but crime thriller.
Yeah.
But, like, also, like, talking about real shit.
Yes.
The actors were fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I came out of there, like... I mean, it was like when I... When you see a movie well, you know, certain scenes of Heat. Or, like, yeah. You know, like... When you see a movie, I'm trying to think, like, of a, you know, a movie like that. You know, like, when Michael Mann was good. You know, like, you're just like, damn.
Yeah.
What a...
Oh, that opening sequence. Oh, dude. My God.
I mean, I really liked it. You know, and it reminded me of, like, a real-life Breaking Bad type of thing.
I think for fans of Breaking Bad, if you like the dark parts of Breaking Bad...
Yeah, you're going to like Sicario.
Definitely.
So, yeah, that's my number six.
Number six, my choice for best foreign language film, and I think it is going to win that Oscar. It's a movie called Son of Saul. Here's some heavy subject matter.
I have that screener.
The lead character is in Auschwitz, and he is one of the prisoners who is able-bodied enough to be able to be forced into working. So he's a Jewish prisoner whose job it is to take everybody else to the showers and go through their stuff when they're done.
This is really interesting. It's I was just talking to our friend Shannon Norman, comic and film connoisseur. Talking about a Jerry Lewis movie.
The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah.
Which has never seen the light of day because they failed to do it in good taste, apparently.
Right.
Where Jerry Lewis plays a clown who entertains children at Auschwitz before taking them to the gas chamber. This is not that. This is a straight drama. And most of it, the camera is just over this guy's shoulder. So you're just walking along with him.
Okay. Sean, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, I won't tell you where it goes. It gets sadder from there. All right?
Sean, I'm not going to watch that.
But... Unbelievably
episode 7
good.
Of Band of Brothers, I sobbed like a baby.
Unbelievably.
I can't deal with that stuff.
Yeah. It's number six on my list, and most people I would say, no, you don't need that. You don't need to go through it. But if you can, it's absolutely directing, acting, one of the biggest achievements of the year, no doubt. And your number six was
Sicario,
Son of Saul. So mine so far, number 10, The Diary of a Teenage Girl, number 9, The Hateful Eight, 8, Inside Out. Number 7, Mad Max Fury Road. Number 6, Son of Saul. Your list so far.
10, Creed. 9, Room. 8, Spotlight. 7, Inside Out. 6, Sicario.
And we are going to be back.
Very different.
Very different lists. I think we're going to go in a couple different directions up front, but I think there's going to be a little bit of overlap as well.
Right.
We're going to find out the top 5 movies of the year after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast, but...
Craft Beer Fuel Pod. Motherfucker, all right. Man. I'm going to have to write that down.
Craft Brew Fuel Comedy. Those are not 4 words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast. All right, so Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast on...
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/PartnersPod. You can find us at PartnersPod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn. under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew, Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
Boom.
We're back.
We're back.
Before we get into our sponsors, we have an addendum to the list.
We want to do that right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know how I went so brain dead to forget one of my favorite films of the year. And I told Sean, I might have bumped off Creed for number 10 for this.
And we were rattling off movies before we started. I only didn't say this one because I thought you hadn't seen it yet. I didn't realize you had seen this
Well,
movie.
On my anniversary, my wife and I went and saw Sisters. And I thought it was hysterical. I mean, this is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler's stepbrothers.
Yes.
It is hysterical. And I'm, it's, it, you know what? It's in my top 10. I'm going to make it my top 10 emeritus.
Yes.
I mean, dude, it is hilarious. Now, sure, there are some cliche comedy plots.
Yeah.
That go on in the story writing, but Paula Pell did an amazing job.
All about her. And this, when I wrote
writing an amazing vehicle for Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And also, if you haven't seen it yet, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler switch roles in this film.
Yeah, Amy Poehler is the sensible one and Tina Fey is the nut.
And I just love it.
Loved it.
I love them with all my heart. I want them to be my older sisters. I think they're hysterical. I mean, Bobby Moynihan.
Bobby Moynihan was so funny. Samantha Bee was real funny. Rachel Dratch.
No.
No, you didn't like her?
No.
Rachel Dratch.
I don't get the whole Samantha Bee thing. Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
I am all for women in comedy. I love it with all my heart. Your girlfriend, my sister, best friend, Missy Marino, some of the funniest females on the planet. Are we taking a step back by the first female late show being called Full Frontal? Does that make any woman mad?
No, I'm not going to argue with you on that point.
Because I was like, oh, Samantha Bee, I've heard of her once.
Well, she was a big Daily Show correspondent for
I don't
a while.
Think she's so that hilarious.
Yeah.
Your show's called Full Frontal?
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. I got nothing else to say.
Back to Sisters. Rachel Dratch, Maya Rudolph.
Super. Oh, Maya Rudolph. God, my wife loves her. I love her. Sure. We were really upset that that show, oh my gosh, Up All Night.
Yeah.
Will Arnett, Christina Applegate, Maya Rudolph. We were really mad that that went off the air because that was a really funny show.
Yeah.
Maya Rudolph was hilarious in that show. So was Will Arnett.
She was great in one of my favorites from 14, The Way, Way Back.
Yeah.
And for the second time this year, John Cena was fucking funny.
Again.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
He's in that Wahlberg, Will Ferrell movie, too.
Yep.
He's got a career going.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, Sisters, in your top 10.
Yeah. I'm putting it in there. Mm-hmm. Emeritus. Before we move on to our top 5, let's just give a quick shout-out to our sponsors. Puzzle Packs. PuzzlePacks.com. You guys, if you listen to the show, you know what it is. It's a wooden six-pack holder for whatever beverage you'd like, mostly a manly beer.
Sure.
Or a nice four-pack for wine. But right now, they are focusing on the awesome six-pack holder that folds up in your backpack, folds right back up, comes on the side with a bottle opener. Mm-hmm. PuzzlePacks.com, amazing. Our other sponsor, GoodsAndEvil.com. Awesome movie shirts, awesome horror shirts, even some shirts for vegans.
Mm-hmm.
GoodsAndEvil.com. We love them. I have lots of Goods and Evil shirts.
Yep, we wear them all the time. Aaron, where are you going to be in the next couple of weeks here?
Well, as of today, if you're listening today, I'm headlining two shows at Toledo Laughs. I was there for New Year's Eve. I'm sure it was an amazing show. But I'm going to have two shows tonight if you're listening from Toledo or around there. Toledo Laughs. And then,
Western Ohio, Indiana, yeah. Kentucky area.
Big show in Pittsburgh at Arcade Comedy Theater, Thursday through Saturday, January 7th through the 9th.
Oh, yeah.
It is me and Todd Glass.
Yes.
Great lineup of me.
Of you and Todd
and
Glass.
And Todd Glass. Uh-huh. But one of the, voted the number one comedy venue in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Arcade Comedy Theater.
And if you saw Todd Glass at the Pittsburgh Comedy Festival or in any small venue, you know Arcade is exactly the kind of room to see
Todd
Glass.
Amazing. Go see Todd Glass. If you don't know him, look him up. Phenomenal comedian. One of the best working comedians today. at Arcade Comedy Theater, which is really exciting for us. January 16th, I'm home all of January, by the way. Because we're renovating our kitchen.
Yeah.
So I'm in Pittsburgh quite a lot. But 16th, I'm headlining the Oaks Theater in Oakmont.
Yes.
I'll be with Colin Chamberlain, Tim Ross is hanging out with me.
Great lineup.
Yeah. And then I am going out of town. I'll be at the Jekyll Island Resort in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
If that, you know, matters at all, where if you're
Georgians.
From there. And then January 30th, me and Sean Collier will be at the Rose Bar in White Oak.
Yes, we will. I've been there before. That's a great little venue south of the city.
Good room.
Definitely a good room.
So,
I will also be, make sure you see Todd Glass, but also on January 9th, Saturday, January 9th, I'll be at Kativo in Lawrenceville. It's kind of a growing comedy venue. They do a lot of improv and a lot of sketch there.
Yeah, there's a show there every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Garrett Teitelbaum. That's a great show together.
And on the 9th, a very cool concept where a number of local stand-ups, I'm one of them, Andy Picaro is one of them, Molly Shero is another one of them, there's a couple others, are going to do 10-minute sets, and then a killer lineup of improvisers are going to do improv based on those stand-up sets. So I am pumped to see a bunch of great improvisers bring my jokes to life on January the 9th at Kativo. And you can find more information on that on our Facebook pages, on our Twitter pages.
Yeah.
You know where to find us.
You know it.
All right, the top five films of 2015.
We got to go at it.
Aaron, you're number five.
My number five is The Big Short.
All right.
What can I say about this? An amazing ensemble cast written and directed by former Saturday Night Live writer.
I know.
Adam McKay.
Yeah.
Who usually does comedies with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Tells about the 2008 mortgage crisis and the cast of characters that are in it that were involved in kind of helping expose it, but also, you know, making money off the big banks.
Christian Bale, Ryan Gosling,
Christian
Brad
Bale,
Pitt, Steve Carell is kind of the lead, I guess.
I think Christian Bale should get a nomination for this.
Yeah.
For sure. Steve Carell is amazing. Ryan Gosling doing a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt doing a little character. Great cast. Great writing.
And by the way, it's a comedy. Don't think that this is, you know, a serious...
It's a dramedy.
Like at Golden Globes and at the Critics' Choice Awards, it's nominated as a comedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's very funny.
Very well put together. Very well put together. Some experimentation.
Yeah, a little bit off. I keep telling people, because it is my favorite moment in the thing, is they get into some really like tough to digest financial concepts.
Yes.
So Ryan Gosling.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Ryan Gosling turns to the screen and says, "I know this is boring. So here's Margot Robbie in a bubble bath to explain it to you."
Yeah.
And it cuts to Margot Robbie in a bubble bath. Explaining this financial concept to
hilarious.
You. And it's great. And by the way, I read the script. She was not the first choice.
Who was that?
The script, it says, here's Scarlett Johansson under a waterfall to explain it to you. They had to kick it down the list a little bit.
Can we see that in a...
Yeah.
Extra footage?
But they did that a couple of times. They went to Anthony Bourdain.
So funny. That was a good
for
part.
For a fish metaphor.
Right.
And they had Selena Gomez at a poker table
doing
one of them.
The fact that... Yeah, whatever. The fact that they took the 2008 mortgage crisis and made it entertaining, halfway through the movie, I turn to my wife, I go, how are they doing this?
I know.
This is
quite
great.
A trick.
Great film. I really liked it. Not because at one point I had my real estate license.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that about me.
Mm-hmm.
That was my backup plan before I started making money doing comedy and acting.
All right.
But yeah, that's my number five.
My number five... I stand by the best American horror movie since Silence of the Lambs. It Follows is my number five. This was my This was my number one of the year for a long time until we got into, you know, the year end stuff.
Until you started to want to be a hoity-toity critic.
Exactly, but then my number one's going to flip that on its head.
All right,
but what a great concept. What the atmosphere is unbelievable in It Follows.
I might say more about this.
We're gonna say more about that. So we'll have a full conversation when we get around to it. But again, completely out of nowhere.
It's good number five.
I remember I went to see this like, I don't have something to talk about on the radio tomorrow. What's that horror movie that's out? All right, I'll go see it. We'll see what happens. And from the first scene, I was blown away.
I remember seeing, oh, this is a cool little indie horror film. I want to go see this. This looks interesting. And I was like, what?
That first scene where you have no idea what's going on.
Yep.
A teenage girl runs out of her house terrified, fleeing something you don't see.
Being chased by nothing.
She ends up crying on a beach, and it cuts to her body the next day.
That's all you need to know.
What? I don't know how many horror movies I can name with a better first 5 minutes than that.
It's a couple.
There's a couple, but not that many.
No. Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
Amazing opening 15 minutes.
And it holds up for there. I know a lot of people had a problem with the ending of It Follows. I didn't.
I did not.
The music's great. The direction is great. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Your number four.
My number four is Hateful Eight.
Oh, a couple spots higher.
My number four is Hateful Eight. Look, I love spaghetti westerns.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah, you do.
I love Sergio Leone. I love Ennio Morricone, who did the music.
Yeah, when that Ennio Morricone overture came on at the beginning of Hateful
I think
Eight.
I punched you a couple times. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is great. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Samuel Jackson's best Quentin Tarantino role since Pulp Fiction. I just thought he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The cast was incredible. The music, the mystery of it, and the action and violence of it. Some of the best Quentin Tarantino dialogue he's ever written.
Agreed.
I now, at this point, I think I'm going to put Hateful Eight at my number three favorite Quentin Tarantino movie.
Behind?
My number one's Pulp Fiction. My number two is Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Number three, Hateful Eight. Number four, probably Django.
And you know what you can say about
Hateful Eight? And I love westerns.
Yeah, you can say about Hateful Eight.
And I love World War II. So.
There's you know, Tarantino gimmicky stuff. But there's no goofy stuff.
You know,
there's not a moment where it's not
the stuff that he did in some of his films that I didn't like. He didn't do, or he did it well, and I didn't notice.
Yeah,
and his actors really killed it.
Oh my, yeah,
and you know what? When you put this many good actors, and you put them in one room,
yeah,
for 3 hours, pretty much.
And I know he has,
and it's a good film.
Yeah.
You did it.
I know.
You won.
He has some of his favorites in there, like Samuel L. Jackson and Kurt Russell and Michael Madsen.
Tim Roth.
Yeah. But
that's an amazing feat.
He brought in people who folded in perfectly. Jennifer Jason Leigh and Bruce Dern and Walton Goggins. They haven't done his movies before, and they were right there.
Fantastic.
Instantly.
Kurt Russell. Mwah.
Oh, I want him to be in everything. I want him to be in everything.
I mean, I think Samuel Jackson should get nominated for this.
Yeah.
I really think he should.
Certainly the ensemble.
Yeah.
Every award show that has a best ensemble, I think it's got to be Hateful Eight.
Absolutely.
As much as I like Spotlight, but...
Right. That's my number four.
My number four, we've already talked about a little bit. My number four is Room.
Oh.
That's
a little higher for you.
I've really liked Brie Larson for a long time. She was great in a movie called Short Term 12.
Right.
I'm thrilled that she's definitely going to win Best Actress. And again, we don't want to talk about it too much because if you haven't seen it yet, and you might, you should go into it pretty cold. But the setup, we can say the setup is a mother and child living their life in a small room that they're not allowed to leave. And
yeah, it's...
And again, without spoiling it, just think about what we're telling you. The point where you think that movie would end...
That's what we just said.
...is in the middle.
Yeah.
And that is just fascinating storytelling. They're taking story, you know, a lot of Star Wars, certainly Mad Max, even Inside Out, a lot of these movies follow that, you know, nice movie story structure, that Joseph Campbell or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Room, completely different.
Yeah.
And really, really effective. Gotta see it. It's probably going to be streaming soon because that was out about 6-8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So watch on your on demand and catch.
And don't find out what it's about.
No, just go in.
Yeah.
Aaron, number three. We're into the bronze medalists.
My number three is Revenant.
Uh huh.
Number three is Revenant. I love Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I love him, and I hope he wins for this.
And now they're saying that. You know, maybe not to the degree that Brie Larson is, but he's looking like, kind of like a lock.
I mean, I think I said, we, you know, our episode of Revenant is not out yet.
Yeah, that'll be out next week.
It'll be out next week, because that's kind of the official release.
Yes.
But this
the
is
nationwide release.
Yeah, but this a lot of people have seen this already in some big cities.
Right.
And I tell you what, and we always say with our top tens, I mean, obviously they have a great ensemble cast.
Yes.
But I mean, the cinematography.
Unbelievable.
No, all natural lighting used.
Emmanuel Lubezki is the cinematographer's name. Expected to win his third consecutive Best Cinematography Oscar after Gravity and Birdman, and now The Revenant.
And I mean, and the director of Birdman.
Yeah. Alejandro González Iñárritu.
Yeah, yeah, you, because you got that on lock. Because I'd be like, Alejandro, Alejandro, Alejandro.
You took it to the Middle East there.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
He's just fantastic.
Great.
I mean, this, oh man, I like this movie. Ooh, yeah. I like this film.
Well,
That's my number three, man.
You know what? That's my number three.
Tom Hardy was solid, too.
Tom Hardy was great. The Revenant is also my number three. And I tell you what, I might move it up. I said, we'll get into it, my number one is not nominated for Best Picture at the Critics' Choice Awards. My number two, three, and four are. I'm going to watch all three of them again. I have Revenant number three, and it might move up a spot once I watch those. I really want to watch those three again. And I was trying to pull this up as we were talking. I always go to goldderby.com.
Yeah.
The expert opinions, you know, serious awards trackers and movie critics.
Yeah.
Of the 24 experts who they survey, all 24 of them predict Leo to win Best Actor.
Damn right.
This year.
It's about damn time.
And he unquestionably deserves
it. Well, if Keaton didn't win last year, Leo should have won last year. Oh, but guess what?
Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, don't even get me started.
The Revenant is, I mean, I think I'm borrowing a line from the commercial now. You're not going to see anything like The Revenant this year or any year.
Dude, it's so unique. Amazing story. And I mean, the tone of it, just, yeah. The, you know, out in the wild and these pioneers.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what an atmosphere.
Yes.
I mean, and also just having, like, Native Americans involved. I mean, it's just, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not going to be easy to watch.
No, it's
there
not.
There are scenes of battles between fur trappers and Native Americans that are brutal, and they're filmed like the scenes in Birdman.
Yes.
Think about that. These long shots that don't break while death and destruction
and
is
just,
all around you.
It's like horrifying and beautiful at the same
time.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's a perfect way to describe it. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll tell you a lot more about it next week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my top five, they're going to be Blu-ray purchases for sure.
And Tom Hardy as well.
Revenant for sure is going to be a Blu-ray purchase.
A lot of people had great years. Yeah. I was talking about Alicia Vikander had a great year. Michael Shannon
Tom
had a great
Hardy
year.
Is Tom kicking Hardy. Down doors.
And we weren't crazy about Legend. But he played two perfect characters in Legend.
He's good.
Then Mad Max. Then The Revenant.
Dude is for real.
Killing it.
Yeah.
That's number three for both of us. You're number two.
My number two is It Follows.
All right.
I think It Follows is one of the best horror movies in a long time.
Yeah.
I am in love with Insidious 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And, man, this is my favorite horror movie probably in at least 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
It is so
Without
unique.
A doubt.
It is so unique for today, but also in the span of horror films in the last 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like old horror films, it's a slight nostalgic.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, this movie takes place, we don't know when.
It seems like it takes place in the 80s.
It seems like it.
But then you go, she's been reading a book on a handheld e-reader the whole movie.
Yeah.
But then she's using an old corded telephone.
It's just so cool.
It kind of takes place out of time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I listened to this soundtrack over and over, you know, while peeing my pants, and it's just, God, it was good.
Yeah, you got to see it if you didn't. If you're a horror fan, if you're not a horror fan.
It's absolutely, I mean, it's in my top 10 horror movies of all time. And if you hear us talk about horror movies,
yeah,
it is in my top 10 of all time.
And if you like horror movies, you should know. It's got a little bit of 80s slasher in there.
Yep.
It's got a little bit of, you know, old Italian 50s and 60s in there.
Uh-huh.
It's got a little bit of 70s, you know, Rosemary's Baby, The Shining in there.
And it's got a little bit of like ghostly kind of paranormal.
Yeah. So good.
Gotta oh my God, it's so good.
Gotta see it.
What's your two, Sean?
We already talked about it. My number two is Spotlight.
What?
Yes.
That's your two.
That is my number two.
You better tell me why.
And it was number one until I saw number one.
Oh.
I think that this is, you know, everyone's saying, oh, it's all the President's Men for this. And I think it's going to go down as one of those great movies about American history, like All the President's Men, like Selma last year.
Wow.
I think, like Lincoln, I think that it's so good at, one, telling the story of something very big and very important that happened,
yeah,
but two, hitting it from an angle that humanizes it more than if you had just followed the characters. We've seen movies that follow the priests and the victims, right?
Right.
No,
you're absolutely right. But I mean, that's the reason why it's on my list.
To strike it from the perspective of these journalists who are going to uncover it.
Yeah.
And as you said, the way that they have to keep working as they realize how big this gets.
Right.
Because if you haven't seen Spotlight, when they start, they're thinking they're talking about one or two people. They're thinking they have a lead on some shady stuff that went down in one parish with a couple of people.
Right.
And they discover how big it goes.
And it is a fascinating unraveling mystery.
Hateful Eight is probably the best ensemble. This is probably second. Top to bottom, great cast, great direction, music's great, editing, writing, top to bottom.
Yeah.
This is the one where, I mean, if you look at The Revenant, Mad Max, it follows Hateful Eight. This is the one where if I completely pull myself out of it, right? Pull my tastes out of it and say, all right, what is the best made movie, right?
Yeah.
What is just, not for me, what has the best craft of cinema? It might be The Revenant, but I think it might be Spotlight.
Wow.
But as I said, when it comes down to Spotlight, The Revenant, and Room, among eight others now, are nominated for Best Picture. Right now, I don't know if I'm going to vote for Spotlight or for The Revenant.
Okay.
So two and three could switch, but that's where they are right now. Aaron, I think I know. What is your number one film of 2015?
Well, it's a little known German film.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding.
Good night, Mommy.
Have you guys seen Bridge of Spies?
No.
Well, I have, and it was okay.
It was all right.
My number
little
one.
Slow. Little slow.
Good night movie.
Good night, Mommy
was pretty interesting.
It's nominated for best. Might be the best foreign picture nominee.
Wow, that's exciting for a horror movie.
That's a little much,
well,
but all right.
Yeah, my number one is Mad Max Fury Road.
Yep.
Driving
the war rig into 2016.
I don't know why.
Okay.
When I look at this list, as films go, I could probably put this at number four.
Uh-huh.
Behind It Follows, Revenant, and Hateful Eight.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know which one exactly I want to make number one.
And you know you really love Fury Road?
Fury Road, I think, is just... This is a special film because I don't think that there has been an action film that has been so good. And this is kind of, it follows up there too, with the genre of horror.
Right.
I don't think there's been an action film so good in such a long time. I mean, I think of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I think of, you know, movies like, you know, Die Hard. And, I mean, the fact that this was a big budget movie with some CGI and a straight action movie that takes place in the apocalyptic future,
yeah,
and it's this good,
yeah,
an amazing heroine, mm-hmm, in Charlize Theron. I mean, Tom Hardy's fantastic.
I mean,
the art direction, the cinematography, the world that is created in this film is just so gorgeous.
Yes.
And just, I mean, I have not felt this way in a movie. Just seeing, we saw it in IMAX.
Yes, we did.
And I just was like, holy shit. Like, it was just, I feel I have the same kind of feelings with Interstellar.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Well, and that's one, like a couple of things this year that I can say about, certainly It Follows and Hateful Eight. That's one of those movies that if it had been 10 hours long, I would have sat there thrilled,
yeah,
the whole time.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to leave.
So, you know, putting that as my number one, I'm okay with it, but you understand where I'm at.
Of course. No, it's the movie you loved the most this year. That's
exactly how I did it.
Yeah.
So, there it is.
And we talked about Brie Larson, but Charlize better get that nomination.
I hope so.
Get the nomination. She has her Oscar. She won for Monster.
Right.
Monster. That might have been the best performance of the decade. Her and Monster.
Yeah, she's amazing.
But she better get that nomination as well. Mad Max Fury Road joins the list of You Can't Handle the Truth number one choices is now Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, Interstellar, Mad Max Fury Road, and my number one. This is the first time I've said anything about this movie. Because it's
Sean.
Not out here yet.
Oh, Sean.
And I've been keeping this quiet. And I put this screener in like, I got an hour and a half to kill. Let me see what this is all about.
I know. And I, go ahead.
And had no idea what I was getting into. No one was more surprised than me. I was there saying, I think this is my number one 20 minutes in. 25 minutes in.
Wow.
It is a movie you may not have heard of yet.
And I have not seen it because my screener wouldn't play in my Xbox One.
Good to know. So if I take it home, good to know. Am I building it up enough? This movie is called Anomalisa.
I don't know what it is. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, and like Room, one of the most delightful things about this movie was figuring out what it was about.
Oh, I'm getting intrigued.
I'm
watching it tonight.
All right. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what it's about. Here's what I'll tell you. It is directed by Charlie Kaufman, who you know from Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Adaptation, Being John Malkovich. Anomalisa is better than all those movies.
Really?
Directed by him, co-directed by a guy named Duke Johnson. Who's more of an animation guy.
And he hasn't done anything in a while.
Because it's stop-motion animation.
Yeah.
It is very realistic, very detailed, but it is a stop-motion animated movie written by Charlie Kaufman, directed by Charlie Kaufman and Duke Johnson. Here's as far as I'm going to go, because I haven't written the review yet. I don't want to give away too much. Here's as far as I'm going to go, and I think this is the kind of detail that'll add to it when you start watching it. Our main character is a guy, kind of a sad businessman, let's say. He's on a road trip. He's traveling for business. It starts with him flying into Cincinnati. And the premise, the gimmick, I guess you could say, of Anomalisa is that to this guy, to our main character, Michael, every other person in the world has the same face and the same voice.
Yeah, I know there's three people in the cast.
Because there's three people in the cast. The main character, Michael, is played by a guy, I forget his
David
name.
David Thewlis?
David Thewlis. I think he was a Harry Potter actor. He was one of the Harry Potter guys.
He is.
And we already mentioned Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this movie.
Yeah.
Tom Noonan, a great character actor.
Love that guy.
An unbelievable character actor.
Tom Noonan played Frankenstein in The Monster Squad.
Ah. He plays every other character. Because to Michael, every person he meets has the same face and the same voice.
I love Tom Noonan.
I don't want to give away any more than that, and to tell you any more about why I love it so much might be to give away a little bit more than that, but...
Don't do it.
Everything we talked about, this was a great year of movies. Look at all these movies we were talking about.
Unbelievable. Look at our honorable mentions.
Yes.
And in a bad year, there's a couple of those that could win Best Picture.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking like The Martian, Black Mass, sure. Ex Machina, Concussion. In bad sure. years,
yeah.
those are Best Pictures.
And,
am I right?
Yes. And look at the stuff that was in both of our lists. There was a bunch that were in both of our lists. Spotlight was in both of our lists. Room yeah. was in both of our lists. Hateful Eight, Mad Max, Inside Out, and It Follows. And The Revenant. Actually, our lists were pretty much the same, just in different order.
Okay.
But
you don't have The Big Short in there.
I don't.
All right.
In all of those movies, Anomalisa was the only one where I was watching, like, with my jaw dropped, alternating crying and laughing and like tearing up one minute and then laughing my ass off the next. If I watched it every day for the next month, I would be happy.
Wow, Sean.
Came out of nowhere. Nobody's... And by the way, this movie was Kickstarter. By the way. This is a crowdfunded movie. Produced in part by the team that makes Community.
Yeah.
So if you like Community, this is much, much different, but there's some similar sensibilities there. I don't have any explanation beyond that that I can give away at this point. We'll talk about it more once you've seen it and once some other people have seen it. But, I was surprised, but as soon as it started, I thought this is the best movie of the year.
Wow.
So
I can't wait to see it, man.
Track down Anomalisa when you can. So that's the list. Anomalisa and Mad Max Fury Road are the top movies.
And I blew it because I hate I hate that I did not see your number one.
That's all right.
It's just the way it works.
Yeah, happens that way sometimes.
Well, hey, look, we have...
Maybe you're going to hate it. Maybe we're going to have a gravity on our hands.
No, I don't think I don't think so because I really like Charlie Kaufman films.
Yes.
I really like Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Even Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, great.
Really good.
And I love Eternal Sunshine. I think Adaptation might have been my number one whatever year that was.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, Anomalisa, I think, is the best Charlie
Wow.
Kaufman movie.
Well, just a reminder, if you guys want to hear us talk fully about these films, Revenant's next week.
Yes.
That's official worldwide release, but we did an episode on Creed. We did an episode on Mad Max.
Sicario and The Martian were one episode.
Yeah.
We did an Avengers episode, of course. We did a Straight Outta Compton episode. So go back into the archives and listen to, and of course the Star Wars episode.
Oh, the Star Wars episode, Marissa Marino.
Great time.
Yeah.
You're going to be hearing a little bit more of her on You Can't Handle the Truth in 2016.
I love my sister.
It's safe to say.
All right.
That's it.
We did it, guys.
That's the top 10 films of 2015.
Here's to 2016.
Watch some movies.
Yeah.
We'll be here next year to talk about, I don't know, what the hell is the top movie of 2016?
I don't know. Go to Row House and see Hateful Eight. And come check out our curated, is that the right word?
Yes.
Our curio cabinet week at Rojas Cinema. All right, well.
I know we're trying to make the parking meter, but the parking meter.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get a ticket.
What the hell is coming out next year? Civil War?
Yeah, that's all right.
Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Suicide Squad, Deadpool. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Independence Day.
I'm actually excited for that.
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
Yes,
I'm excited for that. Some other stuff. We got episodes for you. Finding Dory.
The Cobbler 2.
What?
No, I'm lying. I'm lying.
Deadpool. It's going to happen. Hail Caesar. Coen Brothers.
Yes, that's right.
Coming up soon.
Can't wait for that. George Clooney.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
Hey, we got more episodes. We'll see when we'll be right here at the Beer Hive a year from now. Counting down 10 more. Go watch Anomalisa.
Good year, guys.
All right. That was it.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.